Good morning and welcome to Occupy the Airwaves. Okay, the big news, I guess, is the terrorist attack in Russia, but I don't know enough about it to be able to talk about it at any length. And anyhow, we don't know anything about it except for it wasn't Ukraine, you know, because the United States said so, and all France and England and Germany, they all came out before the terrorists had even left the venue and the bodies were still warm on the floor. The West, in all its glory, wanted you to know it wasn't Ukraine. Because that's not suspicious at all, is it? Yeah, we still don't know who blew up the Nord Stream pipelines, but we know it wasn't Ukraine. Oh, wait, they did blame Ukraine after a while, right? First they blamed the skipper, the ginger end, and what is it? Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife. Yeah, whatever. But then they said that Zeluzhny directed the captain Gilligan and the millionaire after that. And so then they blamed it on Zeluzhny. And then when Zeluzhny became the favorite of them again, well, they dropped that right down the memory hole and they never talk about that. So even when Zelensky was going to fire Zeluzhny and then he did, it still never came up, did it now? Yeah, that just got dropped right down the memory hole. The point is that they still don't know who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, but they knew before the bodies were cold that Ukraine did not do this terrorist attack. I'm going to say they doth protest too much. But anyhow, in the meantime, a ruling came down on Julian Assange, who has been locked up in a dungeon in London for, what is it now, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, for no crime at all. At first, it was a made-up crime, saying he was wanted for questioning in Sweden. And then they said he skipped bail, and they kept him in for another 2 years. And then they changed it to the Espionage Act for the United States, which, again, he's not a U.S. citizen. He's never been in the United States, as far as I know. He was in Sweden and England, and somehow the United States gets to accuse him of espionage. That's what happens when you're the empire. No one can say, well, you're just full of it. You have no clothes. Or people can say you have no clothes like Julian Assange does. But usually no one pays attention. But if he's effective like Julian Assange, then they throw you in a dungeon. Because that's what the empire really does. Okay, so the ruling came down and I have two articles to read about it. One is by Jonathan Cook and it's titled, Assange's reprieve is another lie, hiding the real goal of keeping him endlessly locked up. You know, the headline is he got a reprieve. In other words, they're not going to send him to the United States, which everybody around the world knows has a network of horrible prisons. We've got more prisoners in this country than any other country in the world by proportion and by number. And everyone knows the conditions in U.S. prisons are horrendous. Now, Julian Assange has been kept in the London version of horrendous conditions, which is they keep him in solitary confinement. They won't let him talk to anyone else. They strip search him endlessly. They x-ray him endlessly just in case he'd swallowed some non-existent metal thing. They're trying to kill him. They're probably trying to give him enough radiation to give him cancer. It's their own form of torture. But of course, in United States prisons, we know that it's even worse. Okay, so let's back to the article by Jonathan Cook. Assange's reprieve is another lie, hiding the real goal of keeping him endlessly locked up. The U.S. has had years to clarify its intention to give Assange a fair trial. Ha 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 ha, that's funny. But refuses to do so. The U.K. court's latest ruling is yet more collusion in his show trial. The interminable and abhorrent saga of Julian Assange's incarceration for the crime of journalism continues. And once again, the headline news is a lie, one designed both to buy our passivity and to buy more time for the British and U.S. establishments to keep the WikiLeaks founder permanently disappeared from view. The Guardian, which has a mammoth undeclared conflict of interest in its coverage of the extradition proceedings against Assange, you can read about it here and here, and there's links, headlined the ruling by the UK High Court today as a temporary reprieve for Assange. Nothing could be farther from the truth. And by the way, if you want to go here, it's Jonathan Cook at Substack.com. 5 years on, Assange is still caged in Belmarsh High Security Prison, convicted of absolutely nothing. 5 years on. So much for a fair and speedy trial, right? A public and speedy trial? Yeah, no. 5 years on, he still faces a trial in the U.S. on ludicrous charges under a century-old draconian piece of legislation called the Espionage Act. Assange is not a U.S. citizen, and none of the charges relate to anything he did in the U.S. And yes, that Espionage Act was a bit of repressive legislation enacted in World War I to shut people up who were anti-war, because the U.S. Empire has never liked it when people speak out against war, and that, by the way, is why they don't like Julian Assange, because he was very an effective anti-war voice. 5 years on, the English judiciary is still rubber stamping his show trial, a warning to others not to expose state crimes, as Assange did in publishing details of British and U.S. war crimes in Afghanistan and Iraq. 5 years on, judges in London are still turning a blind eye to Assange's sustained psychological torture, as the former United Nations legal expert Niles Meltzer has documented. The word reprieve is there, just as the judge's headline ruling that some of the grounds of his appeal had been granted, to conceal the fact that he is prisoner to an endless legal charade every bit as much as he is a prisoner in a Belmarsh cell. Yes, it's hard to tell if it's more Alice in Wonderland or Kafka or Orwellian. In any case, it's pretty disgusting. In fact, today's ruling is yet further evidence that Assange is being denied due process and his most basic legal rights, as he has been for a decade or more. In the ruling, the court strips him of any substantive grounds of appeal, precisely so there will be no hearing in which the public gets to learn more about the various British and U.S. crimes he exposed, for which he is being jailed. He is thereby denied a public interest defense against extradition, or in the court's terminology, quote, his application to adduce fresh evidence is refused, unquote. Well, they do that in the United States show trials also. They say, well, yeah, you can't talk about why you did it if it's a political crime. You can't talk about why you did it. We're only going to judge this on what you did, not why you did it. Like when those guys threw blood on the draft board, on the draft things during the Vietnam War because they were trying to stop the draft so that people wouldn't be taken over to Vietnam and killed and also to kill. They wouldn't let them talk about why they did it. They're just like, did you throw blood on the draft board records? Yes, we did. All right, you're convicted. Even more significantly, Assange is specifically stripped of the right to appeal on the very legal grounds that should guarantee him an appeal and should have ensured he was never subjected to a show trial in the first place. His extradition would clearly violate the prohibition in the extradition treaty between the UK and the US against extradition on political grounds. Obviously, this is a political witch hunt. Obviously, he should not be extradited. Duh! Nonetheless, in their wisdom, the judges rule that Washington's vendetta against Assange for exposing its crimes is not driven by political considerations. Nor, how do you rule that? I mean, it should be obvious to anyone. Even someone that doesn't like Assange should be able to go, yeah, you know, this is political. At least I assume. Unless they are dumb as rocks or lying sacks of, you know, whatever, and they just go along with whatever their owners say. But any rational person that looks at it dispassionately would go, yeah, that's of course this is a political prosecution. What else would you call it? Nor apparently was there a political factor the CIA efforts to kidnap and assassinate him after he was granted political asylum by Ecuador, precisely to protect him from the U.S. administration's wrath. What the court grants instead are three technical grounds of appeal, although on the small print, that granted is actually subverted to adjourned. The reprieve celebrated by the media, supposedly a victory for British justice, actually pulls the legal rug from under Assange. So that part's Orwellian. They deny him an appeal on the very grounds that would get him out of prison. And then the media says, this is a big win for Assange. Uh-huh. Well, that's Orwellian, all right. Each of these grounds of appeal can be reversed, that is, rejected, if Washington submits assurances to the court, however worthless they may end up being in practice, in which case Assange is on a flight to the U.S. and effectively disappeared into one of its domestic black sites. Those three pending grounds of appeal in which the court seeks reassurance are that extradition will not deny Assange his basic free speech rights. Sure, dudes. Discriminate against him on the basis of his nationality as a non-U.S. citizen. Well, maybe he should just come over the southern border. Then he'd be, like, treated like royalty instead of locked up in a dungeon for all these years. You think? Or place them under the threat of the death penalty in the U.S. penal system. I don't think Britain has the death penalty. The judiciary's latest bending over backwards, or forwards, to accommodate Washington's intents to keep Assange permanently locked out of view follows years of perverse legal proceedings in which the U.S. has repeatedly been allowed to change the charges it is leveling against Assange at short notice to wrongfoot his legal team. Yeah, that would be COFTA. It also follows years in which the U.S. has had a chance to make clear its intention to provide Assange with a fair trial, but has refused to do so. Oh, for once they don't want to lie. How unusual. Washington's true intentions are already more than clear. The U.S. spied on Assange's every move while he was under the protection of the Ecuadorian embassy, violating his lawyer-client privilege, and the CIA plotted to kidnap and assassinate him. Both are grounds that alone should have seen the case thrown out. But there is nothing normal or legal about the proceedings against Assange. The case has always been about buying time, to disappear Assange from public view, to vilify him, to smash the revolutionary publishing platform he founded to help whistleblowers expose state crimes, to send a message to other journalists that the U.S. can find them wherever they live should they try to hold Washington to account for its criminality. And worst of all, to provide a final solution for the nuisance Assange had become for the global superpower by trapping him in an endless process of incarceration and trial that, if it is allowed to drag on long enough, will most likely kill him. That and all the x-rays they give him. You know, oh, we want to make sure you don't have a knife inside of you that you can get out and get away. Yeah, where would you get the knife? It doesn't matter. We make the rules. This is the rules-based order. We do whatever we want. And I would like to say that we've been talking about the disgusting habit of public institutions in the United States of hiding public, what should be public business, of hiding their transactions, their business, what they're doing, you know, just their conduct. They're supposed to provide open and transparent reports on what it is they're doing with our tax money in our name. They're public institutions. They're supposed to represent we, the people. But instead, they do all kinds of nefarious and illegal and horrendous things, and then they keep it from us. And the Freedom of Information Act, as I always point out, should not be necessary. You shouldn't have to be able to know, I think they're hiding this particular thing, and then you have to guess how to ask for it, because if you ask for it wrong, the institution will go, nope, we don't have anything about that. Wait a minute, you don't have anything? Nope, we don't have anything about that, because you asked for it with the wrong terminology or something. They're supposed to provide free and open and transparent reports. Well, so what Assange did is he set up another way that people that worked for these institutions and they knew that they were doing something illegal and they didn't like it and they didn't think they should do it, but they didn't want to lose their job and end up homeless under a bridge. So instead, they could send it to WikiLeaks and WikiLeaks could publish it. And that was an alternative way of getting the truth out, which should, again, be just out. There should not be any, you shouldn't have to sneak around. You shouldn't have to be locked in a dungeon for telling the truth. That's just supposed to be how it works. Okay, back to Jonathan Cook's final paragraph. Today's ruling is most certainly not a reprieve. It is simply another stage in a protracted faux legal process designed to provide constant justifications for keeping Assange behind bars and never-ending postponements of Judgment Day, when either Assange is set free or the British and U.S. justice systems are exposed as hand service of brutish, naked power. Well, I think we can see from the prosecution of Trump and also the January 6th protesters, I think a lot of people's eyes are being opened to the use of the U.S. justice system as a weapon of political oppression and repression. And when you target your political opponents with the legal system, the way they did to the Prime Minister of Pakistan, what's that guy's name, Khan, something Khan, they have him in prison just like they're trying to put Trump in prison. Why? Because he's popular and the U.S. doesn't like him. That's pretty much it. So there you go. All right, so Chris Hedges also wrote about this subject. This is from Chris Hedges at Substack.com. And this is the crucifixion of Julian Assange. British courts for 5 years have dragged out Julian Assange's show trial. He continues to be denied due process as his physical and mental health deteriorates. This is the point. Prosecutors representing the United States, whether by design or incompetence, refused in the two-day hearing I attended in London in February to provide guarantees that Julian Assange would be afforded First Amendment rights and would be spared the death penalty if extradited to the U.S. The inability to give these assurances all but guaranteed that the High Court, as it did on Tuesday, would allow Julian's lawyers to appeal. Well, what it should have done is made them throw out the charges and let him go free. That's what it should have done. Was this done to stall for time so that Julian would not be extradited until after the U.S. presidential election? Was it a delaying tactic to work out a plea deal? Julian's lawyers and U.S. prosecutors are discussing this possibility. Was it careless legal work? Or was it to keep Julian locked in a high-security prison until he collapses mentally and physically? All right, as you just heard, that's what Jonathan Cook thinks because he's British and he doesn't factor U.S. presidential elections into this sort of thing. And personally, I think it's bogus. U.S. presidential elections are bogus, number one. And number two, I don't think anyone will vote in November on Julian Assange. I mean, I hate to say it, but Americans, you know, they don't really care about Julian Assange. They care about how high gas prices are. That's pretty much it. So I don't think that they're keeping him in just till the presidential election is over. But that's an American talking. Chris Hedges is an American. If Julian is extradited, he will stand trial for allegedly violating 17 counts of the 1917 Espionage Act, over a 100-year-old act, with a potential sentence of 170 years for publishing the truth, 170 years. You think that doesn't have a chilling effect on the rest of the media, even if they wanted to tell the truth, which they are selected for their ability to not want to tell the truth. But if they did want to tell the truth, you think they're going to tell the truth when they can see you can get locked up for 170 years for that? Yeah. Along with another charge for conspiracy to commit computer intrusion, carrying an additional 5 years. Conspiracy to commit computer intrusion is a 5-year sentence. Well, then the NSA and Homeland Security, all of those people should be in prison, shouldn't they? Because they're spying on us. I'm just saying. The court will permit Julian to appeal minor technical points. His basic free speech rights must be honored. He cannot be discriminated against on the basis of a nationality, and he cannot be under the threat of the death penalty. No new hearing will allow his lawyers to focus on the war crimes and corruption that WikiLeaks exposed. No new hearing will permit Julian to mount a public interest defense. No new hearing will discuss the political persecution of a publisher who has not committed a crime. The court, by asking the United States for assurances that Julian would be granted First Amendment rights in the U.S. courts and not be subject to the death penalty, offered the U.S. an easy out. Give the guarantees and the appeal is rejected. It is hard to see how the U.S. can refuse the two-judge panel, composed of Dame Victoria Sharp and Justice Jeremy Johnson, which issued on Tuesday a 66-page judgment accompanied by a 3-page court order and a 4-page media briefing. Well, yeah, but who would believe the United States anyhow? Well, look at the Minsk Accords. Look at the Iran nuclear policy. I mean, the United States breaks treaties all the time. Who would believe? Or the when they told Gorbachev that the NATO would not advance 1 inch to the east. And Gorbachev's like, okay then, you know, tear down the wall. And then they started advancing to the east and the Russians are like, hey, you told us you weren't going to do that. And America's like, yeah, you fell for that, sucker. Show us where we put it in writing. Well, you didn't put it in writing. Well then, sucker, we're putting NATO right up on your right up to your borders, and we're going to put nuclear weapons there, and there's nothing you can do about it. And if you try to stop us, we'll tell everyone you invaded another country unprovoked. And, you know, that's what we'll do, because we control the mighty Wurlitzer, and we can say whatever we want to say, and you can just sit there and take it. That's basically the United States' attitude toward everybody. The hearing in February was Julian's last chance to request an appeal of the extradition decision made in 2022 by the then British Home Secretary, Priyal Patel, and many of the rulings of District Judge Vanessa Barrister in 2021. If Julian is denied an appeal, he can request an emergency stay of execution from the European Court of Human Rights under Rule 39, which is given in exceptional circumstances and only when there is an imminent risk of irreparable harm. But it is possible the British court could order Julian's immediate extradition prior to a Rule 39 instruction, or decide to ignore a request from the ECHR to allow Julian to have his case heard there. Why not? If the United States can ignore rulings, so can Britain, right? Yeah, the empire and its mini-me. Julian has been engaged in a legal battle for 15 years. It began in 2010 when WikiLeaks published classified military files from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, including footage showing a U.S. helicopter gunning down civilians, including two Reuters journalists in Baghdad. Julian took refuge in the embassy of Ecuador in London for 7 years, facing extradition to the U.S. He was arrested in April 2019 by the Metropolitan Police, who were permitted by the embassy to enter and seize him. Well, see, what happened was, first the U.S. got rid of the Ecuadorian president, what was his name, the good one, and they put in this Moreno one. And as soon as Moreno got in, and he got in running on Rafael Carrera's legacy, Rafael Carrera's program, and everyone thought he was going to be a new Rafael Carrera, but it turned out he wasn't. He was a stooge of U.S. empire, and no one knew it until, oops, here he is, and he's doing all kinds of horrible things, including taking away the asylum of Julian Assange and letting the police arrest him and putting him in a London dungeon. Rafael Carrera had offered asylum against major pressure from the United States, and he didn't give in. But as soon as Moreno was in there, Moreno was just like, yeah, you know what? Go ahead. You can get him. We don't care. He has been held for nearly 5 years in HM Prison, Belmarsh, a high-security prison in southeast London. The case against Julian has made a mockery of the British justice system and international law. While in the embassy, the Spanish security firm UC Global provided video recordings of meetings between Julian and his lawyers to the CIA, eviscerating attorney-client privilege. The Ecuadorian government, led by Lenin Moreno, violated international law by rescinding Julian's asylum status and permitting police into their embassy to carry Julian to a waiting van. The courts have denied Julian's status as a legitimate journalist and publisher. The U.S. and Britain have ignored Article 4 of their extradition treaty that prohibits extradition for political offenses. The key witness for the U.S., Sigurdur Thoradsen, a convicted fraudster and pedophile, admitted to fabricating the accusations he made against Julian for money. So their main witness has already rescinded his accusations, but that doesn't matter. They're going to persecute him anyhow. They are persecuting him anyhow. They want to prosecute him anyhow. Julian has been held in isolation in a high-security prison without trial, although his only technical violation of the law is breaching bail conditions after he obtained asylum in the embassy of Ecuador. This should only entail a fine. Finally, Julian did not, unlike Daniel Ellsberg, leak the documents. He published documents leaked by U.S. Army whistleblower Chelsea Manning. 3 of the 9 legal grounds were accepted by the judges as potential points for appeal. The other 6 were denied. The 2-judge panel also rejected the request by Julian's lawyers to present new evidence. Julian's legal team asked the court to introduce into the case the Yahoo News report that revealed, after the release of the documents known as Vault 7, that the then director of the CIA, Mike Pompeo, considered assassinating Julian. Julian's lawyers also hope to introduce a statement from Joshua Dratel, a U.S. attorney, who said that Pompeo's use of the term non-state hostile intelligence service and enemy combatant were phrases designed to give legal cover for an assassination. The third piece of evidence Julian's lawyers hoped to introduce was a statement from a Spanish witness in the criminal proceedings underway in Spain against UC Global. That's the people that spied on Julian, which is against the law, against his rights, against human rights, but they don't care. The CIA is the engine behind Julian's extradition. Vault 7 exposed hacking tools that permit the CIA to access our phones, computers, and televisions, turning them, even when switched off, into monitoring and recording devices. Well, see, there you go. If they're going to give him 5 years in prison for intruding on computers, then what about the CIA? Every one of them should be in prison, right? Yeah, if you lived in a fair society instead of a police state. The extradition request does not include charges based on the release of the Vault 7 files, but the U.S. indictment followed the release of the Vault 7 files. Justice Sharp and Justice Johnson dismissed the report in Yahoo News as, quote, another recitation of opinion by journalists on matters that were considered by the judge, unquote. So most of the news nowadays is indeed basically opinions called news. For instance, as soon as I pointed out at the opening of this, as soon as the news of the terrorist attack in Moscow came out, the United States immediately announced, oh, well, here's what we do know. Ukraine did not do it. We don't know who did it, but Ukraine did not do it. We're going to have to get a hold of ISIS and get them to confess. But until then, we just want you to know Ukraine didn't do it. No way. In any case, that's opinion disguised as news, but reporting on the Vault 7 files, how is that opinion? That's new. It's upside down world. Black is white, up is down, war is peace. Yeah. They rejected the argument made by the defense that Julian's extradition would be in violation of Section 81 of the UK Extradition Act of 2003, which prohibits extraditions in cases where individuals are prosecuted for their political opinions. The judges also dismissed the arguments made by Julian's attorneys that extradition would violate his protections under the European Convention of Human Rights, the right to life, the prohibition of inhumane and degrading treatment, I guess it's inhuman and degrading treatment, the right to a free trial, and protections against punishment without law, respectively. Well, he's been punished for 12 years now without law, and they want to keep it up. The U.S. largely built its arguments from the affidavits of the U.S. prosecutor Gordon D. Cromberg. Cromberg, an assistant U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Virginia, where the CIA is, has stated that Julian, as a foreign national, is, quote, not entitled to protections under the First Amendment, at least as it concerns national defense information, unquote. Well, yeah, they're trying to take away the First Amendment from Americans, so don't be surprised that they're taking it away from a non-American. Ben Watson, King's counsel, who represented the UK government during the two-day hearing in February, conceded that if Julian is found guilty under the Espionage Act, he could receive a death penalty sentence. The U.S. and the U.K. Secretary of State were urged by the judges to offer the British court assurances on these 3 points by April 16th. If these assurances are not provided, the appeal will proceed. If the assurances are provided, lawyers for both sides have until April 30th to make new written submissions to the court. At that point, the court will convene again on May 20th to decide if the appeal can go forward. The goals in this Dickensian nightmare remain unchanged. Erase Julian from the public consciousness. Demonize him. Criminalize those who expose government crimes. Use Julian's slow-motion crucifixion to warn journalists that no matter their nationality, no matter where they live, they can be kidnapped and extradited to the U.S. Drag out the judicial lynching for years until Julian, already in a precarious physical and mental condition, disintegrates. This ruling, like all of the rulings in this case, is not about justice. It is about vengeance. Indeed it is. It is about teaching uppity journalists that they don't get to go against the empire. And that is what it is about. And it is absolutely disgusting. And I think that all Americans should speak out against it. I mean, anyone who cares about the First Amendment, because we talk about that all the time, and I don't know, it doesn't seem like Americans care. All right, well, what are you going to do? You can just do what you can. That's the end of Occupy the Airwaves. See you next week.